Play the music.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome back to The Table,
a podcast that we record on porpoise.
I see what you did there.
Oh gosh, we need to clam down.
Okay, I'm Cody.
I'm Tyler.
And we are your friends.
That's true.
Which is why we would like to apologize for that very punny intro there.
Yeah, it was a little fishy.
Stop it. We can't do this. We're literally seconds in. And we're already doing this.
We lost so many listeners right there.
Well, for those of you that are still here, thank you so much for tuning in today. We're gonna have a great time, brother.
I'm very excited
because we're gonna do something that we said we were gonna do. Thankfully, we had our notepads whenever we recorded the original. We did in our thoughts on Finding Nemo, and now we're going to do our thoughts. Finding Dory.
Wow. And I'm so excited.
Me too.
You know, I may have bad memory, but at least I don't have short-term memory loss.
Yeah.
Officially.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. Well, when we did that episode about forgetfulness and never mentioned Dory, we're going to make up.
We forgot.
We're going to make up for that today because it's all about Finding Dory. Let's go ahead and get into it, brother.
Let's do it.
I got a little bit of information here for us.
Yes, I'm so excited.
So Finding Dory, first of all, it has a runtime of 1 hour and 37 minutes that, if you ask me, goes by just way too fast.
I agree with that.
It was released on June the 17th of 2016. It's Pixar's first PG-rated film that doesn't contain death, which I thought was very interesting. Like
that's
a character,
yeah,
a character dying on screen. Now, I will say this.
It's PG.
I'm not sure. Maybe because of the dead fish that are floating in the bucket that are going to feed to Destiny. Because those are kind of...
Those are dead,
Those are dead, but they're like... They look... They real dead.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, good job, guys. Let's play dead.
But it also, interestingly enough, has no antagonist. With the exception of the large squid.
I thought he was going to be the squid. Yeah, you're talking about the squid. I thought Hank was going to be the antagonist.
He was a meanie.
He was,
but
he was just grumpy.
Yeah, he was grumpy. But, you know, Hank, bless his heart, he lost a limb.
Yeah.
He's really only got seven. And actually,
because of children.
Well, and I also have a fun fact about that. We'll go ahead and get into the fun facts.
Let's do it.
The first one is about Hank. He only has seven tentacles because the animators couldn't fit eight onto his body. Which, I mean, if you look at it, like if you're just watching the movie and not counting, you really can't tell.
No.
But because of that, his backstory was then rewritten to account for the missing limb.
Yes, I do remember that. Do you have any information on how long it took to animate him?
I do not have this information.
I had saw it somewhere. I don't know where, but I think animating his movement alone, from what I remember them talking about, like took forever because it's
very
so fluid and so accurate.
Yeah,
you know, like that's another thing I wanted. That's something I wanted to ask you about was how do you feel about the timing of the sequel? Because of course, for those that don't know, this is the sequel to Finding Nemo. If you haven't seen it already, of course, there are going to be spoilers and both probably. Why haven't you seen it? It came out, how many years ago? What did you say it came out again?
Finding Dory?
Yes.
It came out in 2016.
Yeah, that was 5 years ago. Yeah. What are you doing?
but think about that. That was five years ago this movie came out.
But still, like it was many years after Finding Nemo. Do you think that it came out at the appropriate time? Or do you think that it should have been sooner?
I would have liked for it to have been sooner.
Same.
With that being said, whenever we talked about Finding Nemo, we were both, there was a question about did it leave us wanting a sequel? Mm-hmm. And we both said, no, not really. Like, I got what I needed from it. But there was always, like, I wouldn't mind a sequel, you know?
So because it wasn't left open-ended, there wasn't as much pressure for the sequel. I agree with that.
But I would have happily taken it sooner.
Do you think that any of the animation quality would have suffered because of that?
Because it came out sooner?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, possibly.
Yeah.
I do know that it obviously took a long time to make this movie, just like it took a long time to make Finding Nemo.
Right.
You know, looking back, I remember hearing that there was going to be, first of all, there were like rumblings of, oh, there's going to be a sequel to Finding Nemo. It's like, oh, come on. It's been how many years?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. And then I remember watching the YouTube video of it being announced. Like if I'm not mistaken, Ellen announced it on her show.
Yeah.
And they gave the name, the title, screen, and everything.
Wow.
And I'm like, Finding Dory, what's going to happen? Like,
I believed it, though, well, because of her short-term memory loss.
Yeah, but it was also like she's not alone anymore. Like, she's with her family,
yeah,
or her new family now.
Right.
And so I was just I'm here for it. You know, I'm very open to it and excited about it. I was just kind of curious as to, like, what are we just going to lose? Is the next one going to be Finding Marlon?
I hope not.
Like, are we just going to be finding?
He was unpleasant in this movie.
He really was.
And it was for no reason. Like, there were several scenes where it just showed him, like, irritated with Dory and stuff. But it was like, you've been with her for a year at this point. Like,
I think that
you're not used to this.
Well, see, and that's what's so weird is you would think, yeah, he is.
Right.
But at the same time, I've seen arguments on, I say arguments, I've seen people make the point online and stuff that, you know, from the events that took place in the first movie,
mm-hmm.
Marlon is clearly suffering with some trauma still
right.
from what went down. Right. And so people that are kind of playing devil's advocate are like, well, think about it. You know, he could be, he's obviously changed. His fuse has probably gotten a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
He's obviously way more overprotective.
Yeah.
He's different in this movie.
Well, see, in the overprotectiveness with him, with Nemo having crossed the ocean and stuff, regardless of whether or not it was his own will or not, like, you think that he should be more protective or less protective?
I don't know. I feel like...
Because it's also been a year. Like, the time lapse between the first movie and the second movie is a year.
It has, but you got to think about, like, what they did. Think about what that man went through.
But he made it through.
He did, but it's also like, I don't have children. I have Link.
Right.
But, I mean, it's different.
Yeah.
I can only imagine that if I would have gone through something like that with a child,
right,
I too would be super protective.
Yeah.
Because, like, sure, there's the point of, like, his overprotection, like, caused Nemo to want to, like, rebel anyway.
In the first place, yeah.
But at the same time, normally, like, in everyday circumstances, there wouldn't have been a diver there to take him.
Right.
You know, it would have just been, oh, he went out there, he touched the boat, he came back, and then he got in trouble.
Yeah.
And it probably would have just went on from there. But on this day,
yeah,
there was P. Sherman from 42 Wild Boy, Sydney.
Right.
So we can't have that every day.
Right.
But I don't know. So for me, just to be completely honest, like, I really didn't care for Marlon too much in this movie.
He really got on my nerves.
He got on my nerves.
Like, honestly, like, I understand that they were chasing after Dory because she had wandered off. But, like, the name... First of all, the title implied that she was going to be, you know, she was going to be gone. They didn't know where she was. And technically, they quote-unquote didn't until near the end.
Yeah.
But, like, the real title should have been, like, Finding Dory's Parents.
Right. It should have been... I agree with that. Finding Family.
Yes, exactly.
Or Dory's Family.
I don't know. I don't know if the Marlon and Nemo aspect hurt or helped the show, because all they did was follow behind Dory. They didn't really contribute in any way.
Well, if you think about it, they're such a... Dory is more or less a side character in Finding Nemo.
Right.
And some people really didn't like her. I've read... And doing the research, I saw a lot of people being like, you know, I really wasn't excited about a movie that was going to be focused on Dory just because of how much she annoyed me in the first movie.
Wow.
As far as for Marlon's behavior, I did also see in my research that the guy that voices him in this movie was given the opportunity to do a lot more, like, improv.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if some of that came across from, like, his personal interpretation of the character being like, you know, this dad has been through,
like,
this.
Like, oh, we're traveling the ocean again.
Yeah, we're doing this again. I'm aggravated. Yeah. Well, and even one of the things where, like, I forget exactly what it is that happened. It's been a couple of weeks since I watched the movie at this point. But whatever happens results in Nemo somehow, he gets hurt or scared or something.
Yeah.
And he's, like, hyperventilating, and Marlon's trying to take care of him. And Dory, who obviously loves Nemo at this point, is like, oh, what's wrong? What can I do? And Marlon's
go forget.
Yeah.
What you do best.
You've done enough. Go forget. It's what you do best. And he just kind of, like, throws it out there, like, it's what you do best. Like, well, that was unnecessary.
Right. Like,
you know, like,
I agree.
And it obviously hurt her feelings. And first of all, we've gone all this time and have not yet mentioned baby Dory. Baby Dory is probably one of the cutest characters
I was that I have
ever seen.
At how just like even the whole process, like that's another thing I want to acknowledge. That I mean, they did the 1 year later timeline thing, but the timeline from her parents to finding Marlon, beautifully executed.
It was very well done.
Beautifully executed. And like how she grew up and like just like the things that she came across and stuff like that. And then to finding Marlon, I like how they connected all that and gave her a quote unquote reason for being there.
Yeah.
I really appreciated that. But yeah, Baby Dory, super, super cute. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. I have conflicted feelings. Because there was a meme sent to me, and it was upsetting, and okay. I can't go into it on the show. But because of that, anytime I see this frequently used meme of Baby Dory, I get a little sad.
Like and sad?
Not sad. I'm sad that I'm looking at it.
Disappointed?
Yes. I'm okay. Reminded of this time that this meme was sent to me.
Well, this is why we can't have nice things.
Right.
People, I'm just like, people send stuff that's problematic.
Right, and exactly. And I'm just like,
They attach goodness to it like Baby Dory.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just can we not just have like nice things?
Because her little face
and
her
voice,
her
too.
Huge eyes, her yes. little voice, just this innocence that is just
I like shelves.
Yeah. She's like, can I come play with them?
Right, yeah.
which is kind of creepy if your eyes are closed.
Well, yeah. And if you're not looking at Baby Dory.
You're right.
So that was probably really terrifying for our listeners.
Probably so.
Sorry, guys.
That was me, just right. So you know. It wasn't the voices in your head this time.
Right. No, but I definitely agree. Baby Dory is super, super cute. But as far as Marlon being mean to her, I mean, I guess it was also kind of a plot device because that's what pushed her to go up to the surface and find out that she... was at the Marine Life Institute and
it was.
So on and so forth.
I get that they had to do it. I mean, I understand that, you know, there comes a point in time where it's like, yes, it is a movie. Yes, things have to happen exactly. to cause other things to happen.
Yeah.
I just wish that it wasn't
that.
Yeah, because it made Marlon feel like
a bad guy almost.
I really don't like you.
Yeah.
I was for you and like we went on this journey together like in the first movie and it's like now I'm just like
but instead of
dude, you're mean.
Instead of showing character growth, it was almost like a recession in that. And so it was like, okay, well, I guess you're not a nicer person.
Right.
Now, you know? But like I did see this movie that was not this movie, excuse me, this YouTube video that went over, quote unquote, everything wrong with Finding Dory in X amount of time. And I don't know. I was like, you know what? I'll humor you. And I watched it and it was like going over every scientific fact and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, bruh, it's a Disney movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about science.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Let's calm down.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
This is still a children's animated film.
Right.
Like, this is not a documentary.
Well, speaking of children, you remember, you've seen Inside Out?
I have.
The main little girl there who's going through all the trauma, Riley?
Yes.
She has a very brief cameo in this movie.
I think
movie.
I remember seeing that.
It's whenever Dory is thrown into Destiny's tank. She bumps into the glass viewing window, and Riley can be seen in the crowd of children on the back row.
Nice.
Yep. It's very brief, but it's there.
I love little things like that.
Same. Well, also, the Pizza Planet truck is in the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, absolutely.
So that didn't end well. Something happened right. there.
I love those little clips that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a, speaking of clips and YouTube and things of that nature, I did see another one that had a theory that Dory's short-term memory loss is faked.
Really?
Yes. It was very interesting, and it like I didn't like sit down and study
like
it.
Like she's faking it?
Yes. Now, this was based off of information from mostly the first movie, of course.
Yeah.
But it was talking about the different types of amnesia and like what types of facts it causes you to forget and so on and so forth. And they basically made a case the whole first part of the video saying that she does indeed have short-term memory loss, except for a comment about whenever Marlon was like, I'm looking for my son. Have you seen a boat? And she was like, a boat? Yeah, I've seen a boat. Apparently with that type of fact that it was, is one of the main things that like contradicts the rest of her short-term memory loss, quote-unquote, claim, because it was crazy. And whenever you're listening to the video, it makes sense. I don't obviously believe that, and I don't subscribe to that, but it was very interesting to hear nonetheless.
It is interesting. I would refute it with several things, the first of which being that, yes, she has short-term memory loss.
Yes.
But I assume it doesn't mean you forget everything.
No.
Like the fact that she's with Marlon.
Right.
She does a few times forget his name, but I mean, she, and then of course, as we've discussed, she can't remember Nemo's name at all.
Right.
He's lost his son, Fabio.
Yes.
You know.
You should just go check it out if y'all do see it.
It's very interesting.
It is a very interesting theory. He used a lot of big words that I do not understand. It may be a word of the week in the future. So
hope not. Please go watch the video first.
Right.
Give me plenty of time.
Okay, so what do you feel? How do you feel about the extra characters that were introduced?
So, well, I'm glad you asked this, because one of my questions to you was going to be, who is your favorite and least favorite character?
Okay.
But first, let's talk about this.
Okay.
So, overall, mm-hmm. I liked the characters. I did not love Hank. I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But between Marlon and him, I'm like, y'all grumpy. Y'all need to, like, I'm trying to have a good time, and y'all are just being mean.
There's two things about Hank that kind of confused me. I don't want to say two. If I remember correctly, mm-hmm. he lost his leg, his eighth leg, due to children.
Child, like,
right.
did something.
So he's trying to get into this institute so he could be left alone, like, get in his own little tank mm-hmm. and be alone. First question, was he not in that tank at the Marine Life Institute? That was a recovery place that they were just going to release him back to the ocean.
They were going to put him back to the ocean, which he also did not want to go to.
But did they explain why he didn't want to go back to the ocean?
I think he said that the ocean was huge and scary, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he made a comment of like, I don't want to go there because it's big and scary and dangerous.
Other than that, with the way that he behaved and talked and stuff, I thought he had sinister intentions.
Yeah.
Of course, there was no sinister intentions,
right,
because there was no motivation or anything like that. Like, there's nothing for him to accomplish that is indeed sinister. So it made it kind of confusing that they kind of portrayed him like that in some areas, like even with like the way they had the lighting angled and like his facial expressions and stuff like that. It was kind of like, okay, what's this guy gonna do? Don't trust him. Other than that, I understand his short fuse with Dory, because this probably is the first time he's dealt with somebody with short-term memory loss.
Well, you can tell by the look on his face when she first like has a moment of forgetting, and he's like
confusion.
Yeah, he is very much like, oh, you just said that.
Yeah, he's
no sensitivity whatsoever.
None. Well, he's been in a tank.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, my favorite though, I think is gonna have to be Destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and that's interesting, because
is she your least favorite?
No, she's not my least favorite, but I didn't love her.
I liked her and Bailey's interactions. I thought that was funny.
They were funny.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. Bailey being the whale, what is he? The
beluga whale.
The beluga whale,
yes,
who thinks that he can't use his
sonar,
but he can.
He can. Indeed.
He just doesn't believe that he can.
So let's just rank them. Let's rank them.
Okay.
We have Destiny. We have Bailey. We have Hank.
Uh huh.
We have Becky.
Yeah.
We have Gerald and the other two guys. Do you remember their names?
Their names are right here, Fluke and Rudder.
And
can I just say,
they're a pair. We'll say they're a pair.
Well, can I just say, Fluke, Rudder, and Gerald?
Yeah.
Best characters in the movie.
Really?
Best characters in the movie.
It was very, very, very funny.
I enjoyed them. So my man Gerald,
Gerald. Look,
my boy Gerald, he's just trying to live his best life. And you know, he's got some haters. But he's not letting the haters keep him down.
Look, he's just keeping on, keeping
he's
on.
He's like, you know what? I'm eventually going to get this rock.
Right.
And he do. That's what's beautiful.
That's true. I did think for a minute that Fluke and Rudder?
Fluke and Rudder.
Fluke and Rudder. I thought that they were going to be antagonists.
I thought they were going
to,
yeah.
Yeah, thought they were going to try to eat like Marlon and
Nemo.
But
they were so kind.
They were so cool. Yeah.
And you know what's funny about that is Fluke, I believe it is. He's the larger one.
Yes.
Voiced by Idris Elba.
Really?
Yes. Who also in the same year of Finding Nemo,
yeah.
Dory, excuse me, did Jungle Book, because he was Shere Khan in Jungle Book.
Yeah.
And then one more that I can't remember.
I know he was in the Thor movies too. So
in addition to the Thor thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So he was getting that Disney. He's on that Disney payroll. He was like, look, Disney, I can do at least two, but if y'all got one more, they're like, well, we got this seal in Finding Dory. And he's like,
you try to get that coin.
We'll send you on your way.
That was great.
They were definitely funny. I would probably rank them above. I would rank them above Destiny personally.
Yeah.
Because I did get the most enjoyment out of them. It would probably, for me, just off the top of my head, would probably go Frankenrutter, Destiny.
Frankenrutter?
Fluke.
Fluke.
Frank.
Frankenrutter sounds like some kind of cheap ice cream.
Right.
Or like hot dog. I'm a hot dog for some reason.
Frankenrutter. Well, Frank's. Because you're smart and I went to ice cream.
Okay, so Frankenrutter, Destiny. I'll say Bailey, Becky, and then Hank.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Gerald.
Yes.
Frankenrutter.
Yeah.
I need to talk about Destiny and Bailey.
Okay.
Because I need to verbally process. There's nothing wrong with Destiny.
No.
She was a very okay character. She did what she needed to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what I didn't like about her. I just didn't really. She just never clicked. Like, oh, enjoy that.
Did you like Bailey more than Destiny?
I don't know. I feel like I was frustrated with Bailey. Well, because Bailey was like another grumpy, weird male using excuses.
Yeah.
Okay, this has helped me. Destiny above Bailey.
Okay.
Becky was just strange.
I liked it.
It was okay. It was just weird how she like had to like imprint on Marlon. That was
funny.
That was strange. But fun fact about that, Becky.
Woo-woo, Becky.
Woo-woo, Becky. And then how she just like sits on his head.
That was hilarious.
It's just like, okay, this is my fish now.
I wish I would have seen like what she would have done. What would you have done when you got them to the top of the building?
I think she would have just probably left them there and they would have jumped out. But
and then to what?
Well, that's another thing. I've assumed that there's some sort of opening up there. I don't know.
It could just be a top of a building.
It could be.
Chill up. That's another reason I would have loved to see that.
Hashtag movies.
Right.
They should make like what if versions of movies.
Yes.
It would cost millions and billions of dollars.
Oh, absolutely.
But they would also make me. But anyway.
They're currently doing that with Marvel.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting.
Not Finding Dory, though.
Becky is named after one of the people who worked on the movie, who claims that she is nothing like Becky the Bird.
Oh, could you imagine going around the office and right. Like, woo-woo, Becky.
I guarantee you that happens. I guarantee you.
If I ever meet
you.
This woman, I'm going to do that.
Well, I mean, okay. Woo-woo. Woo-woo, Becky. But yeah, so those are the characters that, you know, I really didn't. Marlon's like the last one.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, Marlon is like down there. Have I mentioned Hank, where Hank stands? Hank is, okay, so let me.
Hank above Marlon?
Yes.
Okay.
Hank is above Marlon for me. So what I'm thinking now that my list is like, okay, it's Gerald.
He has character development though, so I understand that.
Yeah. and also integrity. No,
right.
So there's Gerald, Fluke, and Rudder, which is a pair. Right.
Yes.
Destiny?
Yeah.
Bailey.
Okay.
Frank. No, Hank.
Got Frank on the brain.
I got Frank on my brain. And then Marlon.
Nice.
Dory is not a side character, but we love Dory.
Dory's like, yeah, she's there.
Yeah, she's there. Nemo, I'm indifferent.
He didn't contribute really much of this movie.
Yeah, he
didn't
really say, which is kind of like.
I could have done without Marlon and Nemo in this movie, honestly. Like
I really could have too.
I feel like she could have taken this trip on her own.
She could have. I would have been perfectly fine with not seeing their side of the story.
I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with
that. However, with that being said, it is their side of the story that introduces us to the best characters in the movie.
True.
Which is, as we've established,
very true.
Fluke, Rudder, and my boy. My personal friend.
Yes, right.
Gerald.
So, how, like, first of all, heartwarming, storyline in regards to her mm-hmm. parents and things of that nature.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the way that the truck was stopped and things of that
nature? Oh, my word. So this got intense.
That was very intense. I was like, what? What are they going to do?
Multiple laws were broken. Probably a few casualties.
Right. I would assume so.
Maybe that's why it was PG.
Perhaps so.
Because all there was
the law breaking.
There was literally some Grand Theft Auto. Yes. Just a wild, wild.
And then with like the otters stopping traffic and
the
stuff.
The otters were like the cutest.
That was
the
cutest
fake otters I've ever seen.
That was very, very, very cute.
And everyone that stops is like, oh, and I'm like, I'm over here, oh.
I think we all were because we watched it together, didn't we?
Man, these people at Pixar, they know what they're doing.
They do.
They're like, you know what everyone's reaction is going to be? The reaction these people in the car.
They said, this isn't our first movie.
We're all going to do this together and have this moment and amongst this chaos of, oh, they're so cute.
Look, and then like the slow-mo with the truck falling through the sky.
Okay, so the truck, I did not see this coming. I just didn't.
Really?
I knew that somehow, obviously, they're going to wind up in the ocean.
Yeah.
But the truck launches into the air,
uh-huh.
slow motion, and What a Wonderful World starts playing.
That was perfect.
And I'm like, what is this sequence? What's happening here?
Perfection.
It was so.
It was so good.
So good.
So good.
I don't really care for that song, but it's like it
was
fits with
very well executed.
Yeah, it was well executed.
So big moment.
Hmm.
The parents.
Can we talk about
the Shells? I was floored. I personally, my thoughts. I loved what they did with it.
I did, yeah, for sure.
I was very, very, very impressed. They took that little detail with the shells mm-hmm. and like that they were right outside the Marine Institute in case she ever found her way back home, and they never stopped. They never gave up on her. And it was like, what? I don't know how fast
when you
Bori
were
aged, but
when you were watching the movie for the first time,
yeah,
did you think that the parents were dead, that ultimately she wasn't going to find them?
I don't know.
I thought that it was going to, because I mean, you got to remember, it's Pixar.
Yeah.
They're the ones that made Up. And
yeah.
So it's like, I'm over here thinking, I really, really want her to find her parents. I don't think she's going to find them.
I didn't think that she was going to find them either, honestly, especially whenever she went to the exhibit and they weren't there.
Well, and then people told them.
Yeah.
The other fish
like,
told
them. Oh, they left years ago.
Dory, well, they even said, Dory, they're gone.
Ugh.
And she's like, gone? And then goes into this panic mode, which understandably so.
Right.
But it's...
I was very surprised to see them, honestly. But when I saw the shells, I was like...
When you see the shells and it's like you see it all coming together,
they're not
for Dory.
I was like, they're not going to show that and not show the parents. Like,
but wouldn't it have been so Pixar if they would have? Like, imagine this, Tyler. Talking
all
about
the shells leading to the thing.
The shells lead to the thing, which she then enters, and there's just like two... skeletons.
Well, not
there.
Skeletons.
and it's like they waited for me, but I was too late.
Or like maybe one of them.
Yeah.
Not the other.
Maybe one and not the other.
Because they're just sitting out there in the ocean or just thriving.
Or she goes into the little house and it's Marlon.
He's like, Dory, where were you? How disappointing.
I know.
So
it was
How do you feel in comparison to Finding Nemo?
Much more emotional than Finding Nemo.
You think?
I do, because I think the reason why is because I don't have a son. I do have parents.
Mm.
I am forgetful. I do know how it feels to be confused and lost.
Yeah.
Because I was lost in the woods one time, and that was not a fun experience.
Yeah.
I guess this one was just much more relatable to me personally. I can imagine what it would be like to go through that and lose a son for like and have to track him down and stuff like that. but I can't really relate to that on a personal level.
So do you feel like, because of course, whenever we talked about Finding Nemo, we talked about how iconic Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo. El Nemo.
Wait, what does that mean?
Little boy.
Oh, okay, yes.
Finding Nemo.
He's lost his son, El Nemo.
El Nemo. Fabio.
Right, Fabio. Chico.
Finding Nemo. We talked about how iconic it was, all the quotable lines and things of that nature. Do you, 'cause in my opinion, Finding Dory doesn't have like as especially not as much, but hardly any quotable lines. Like
I agree.
That. But it's, do you think that it still stands up as a acceptable, honorable sequel?
I do.
I agree.
I do.
So what do you think makes that?
I think it's just the fact of the characters. Like Dory is still, first of all, it was directed by the same guy.
Yeah.
Which is ideal.
Yeah.
If it would have been directed by someone else who was like, well, I'm going to take it
in this direction.
Yeah. Well, it was the original director who, by the way, had a voice cameo in the movie.
Really?
Whenever Marlin and Nemo are trying to escape the tank and they wind up going across like the gushers and they wind up, the clam that's in there is voiced by the director whose name is right here in front of me, and it is pronounced Andrew Stanton.
Nice.
So he had a little cameo there, but because it was him, I think that's what makes it honorable. He knew exactly what to do, what not to do. I don't care for all the characters. I do think that some of them were a little grumpy, but as a sequel, as far as sequels go, it's great.
In my opinion, I think that the grumpiness and stuff like that almost speaks to how well those characters are written, not in the sense of likability, but in the sense of depth.
Yeah.
You know, like they weren't like just like one dimensional characters. Like they all had their stories and stuff and their motivations and whatnot, regardless of whether or not some were misplaced or whatever, as irrelevant in my opinion. But like it didn't try to be like Finding Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was its own thing.
Yeah.
It didn't have all of the same quotable moments and iconic yada, yada, yada. But like, it was good in almost a different way, but not a way that like deviates from Finding Nemo.
It could, like
the Finding Nemo algorithm, I'll say.
So towards the beginning, it definitely makes it a point to like, let's hit all the nostalgic points.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to have Mr. Ray singing. It's going to be the same voice actor.
Yeah.
We're going to have all the voice actors return except for Nemo because it had been 17 years.
Right.
And the guy, you know.
But I think the new guy.
Or he was 17 years old at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He grew up.
Right.
So it wasn't the original voice actor for Nemo. But they made sure to hit all those points. It's like, let's wrap in the people who have seen and grew up with Finding Nemo. But to me, honestly, if it wasn't for, like, I think this movie could stand on its own.
Yeah.
It helps to know what happened in Finding Nemo, obviously.
Yeah.
It is very much intended to be enjoyed as a sequel. But also, it's like, man, it doesn't stand on its own.
It absolutely does because, I mean, yeah, it ties the first two together with where she was at and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, you don't really need to know anything from the first one other than that, like, they're fish that are together.
They're fish who are just swimming.
Right,
basically. Constantly.
Yes.
Because
one would say that they would just keep swimming.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it is a very acceptable, honorable sequel. I don't think that the time period that it came out influenced it negatively in any way.
I would think, if anything, it was possibly a positive impact. Because a lot of people around that time of the year of just the world at that time were unhappy, perhaps happier than they are now. But
right.
It was a very tumultuous, we
were in turmoil.
We were in turmoil. people were not happy. So I would just imagine that it was like, okay, this is going to be great. Because it's like, it's not just any movie. It's Finding Dory. It's the sequel.
Yeah, the long-awaited
sequel. Yeah, exactly. So to me, it was great. Now, we did, of course, mention that there's not
as splash in theaters.
Wow.
He felt a wave of discomfort.
As we've mentioned, there's not as many of those moments.
Yeah.
But are there any that stuck out to you as like, now that's one right there.
To me, like,
Or any quotable lines or anything like
not
that.
Not really quotable lines, but like the story. The story was so good.
It really was.
Like, because to me, it wasn't predictable.
Like, I agree. Well, there was that era of mystery of like, is she going to find her parents? Are they alive? Or what's going to happen?
Right. And well, really, honestly, we didn't know too much about the movie before it came out.
I didn't know anything.
Exactly.
Other than the obvious, you know, of like what it was and like certain characters and stuff. But as far as storyline, because I didn't really watch the trailers.
I don't think I did either, but I think I may have seen one, but I don't remember it being revealing to the plot. I don't remember it being like, I got to go. Oh, well, she did say I got to go find my family.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah. You know? Like, in fact, that is what she said.
That is what she said. I remember that because she was like, I got to go find my family. But as far as memorable, like iconic moments, of course, the road scene, like where they're getting back to the ocean.
Yeah.
Wonderful times. I would say the poking area.
Mm-hmm.
that was very funny because it made it really, really dramatic.
Hands.
Right. And then it cuts to like the outside and they're just like chilling like children do.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't know if you've been to aquarium section.
I have.
It was very accurate. It was a very accurate representation of how it is.
Well, the only thing that wasn't very accurate, I didn't see any 30-year-old males standing around out there because I mean, right. I myself, I too like to poke the fish. Poke the fish.
Yeah. But then for it to go from the perspective of the fish and for them to be terrorized, it was very funny.
And they like, stick their head out just to go hands
right
and like, go away.
Just that and Hank's camouflage, that too was also
so that cool. Was really, really good. The animation impressed. For that was amazing. As far as for me, there's only a couple of lines that I just like. I like that
Gerald.
Of course, just Gerald and how they're like,
yeah,
they let him onto the rock just for a moment. They're like, comfy, isn't it? And then like off. That's the mine of this movie.
Yes, absolutely. Like,
off. Absolutely. There's one I wish I could remember when and where it was. I started to look up a clip before this, but I didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a point in the movie where someone says the words, "Stop it, you're a scientist," and that.
I do remember that.
And that is so funny to me. And it's like it's something I want to say to you, Tyler. It's like, Tyler, stop it. You're a scientist. there's that one.
Oh, man.
This one isn't something that, like, you can use, but it's just, like, it stuck out to me. It's one mm-hmm. It's one moment where Dory calls out Hank. She's like, you know, for a guy with three hearts, you're not very nice.
And she's like, fun fact.
Right.
Octopus has three hearts.
Right. It just kind of gets sassy with him. Yeah. And it's like, I appreciate that, you know.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then, of course, there's at the very end where she and Marlin are floating there. They're looking at the view, and Marlin just makes a comment like, wow, it's a really beautiful view, isn't it? She's like, yeah, unforgettable.
Aww.
And I'm just like, okay, so now.
Right. Now I can die happy.
Right. Well, now I can cry openly. Weep. I'm going to weep openly.
There was, I don't remember seeing this.
Pause. One more thing.
Okay.
Woo.
That was actually very, very
whatever.
Funny.
Bailey,
you did that for a while afterwards.
Yeah, we did. Sorry.
No. There's apparently one thing that happens like after the credits or whatever, where apparently the fish from Nemo's tank are still in bags.
That's what I was going to bring up. Is throughout the whole movie,
the whole year later.
Not only a year later, I was shocked. That this whole, because so much about the first movie was they got to get to the ocean.
Yeah.
And now here's this movie where, okay.
Now we got to get out of the ocean.
Everybody's pretty much in the ocean. You don't see them not one time until the post credits.
Yeah.
And their bags are filthy except for Jacques.
Tankwood.
Jacques is like, voila, he is clean.
Yeah, no,
I am ashamed.
I don't remember watching that scene. I want to go back and watch it because apparently they're. I just need to go back and watch it. But I saw it on the way here, like saw a clip of it.
Uh-huh.
Not the actual clip, but like
somebody
acknowledging it. And I was like, ah, I need to go watch that.
From what I understand and remember, it was they only say like one, they're like, we're almost there or something like that. It's like, fam, it's been a year.
Yeah.
And you're still just chilling. Lord. Especially like the, what's the pufferfish name?
Oh.
Well, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
How is he not out of his bag?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
You haven't got mad or stressed out in a year? Like, you haven't popped your bag yet?
Maybe the water just, like, goes around it and, like, keeps him from actually
Guess possibly, but it just, it was funny. I was thinking about it and doing the research and just, like, making my notes stuff, and I'm like, you know what? you don't see the tank gang any in this movie. But speaking of the post credits, there's that. And then there's the fantastic, like, Where's Waldo featuring Hank. Those sequences where, like, he's in all the different areas.
Yeah.
And he's camouflaging himself.
That was awesome.
You know good and well that was unnecessary millions of dollars spent. And they did it anyway because they love us.
Oh, absolutely.
They care about us.
Wow, thanks, guys.
Wow, thank you.
So, what? In closing, what would you rate this movie out of 10?
I'm almost a little afraid to say it for two reasons. One,
okay,
I have commitment issues. No, I'm kidding.
No, understandably
so. I don't remember what I rated Nemo.
Didn't we rate it like
10? I think it was like 9 or 10.
9 or 10 out of 10, yeah.
With that being said, this one gets like an 8.5.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm not joking. I was literally going to say 8.5.
8.5.
And only because the lack of iconic moments.
There's that, but like also
The non-quotable areas in comparison to Finding Nemo.
Right. What gets it for me is just the too many grumpy characters,
The unlikability of certain characters.
Yeah, the unlikability of certain characters in their current emotional states.
I agree with that.
It's a great movie. I recommend it, but it's an 8.5 for me.
Still, 8.5 is really high. That's passing.
Yeah. Well, if someone hands you $85 out of 100,
absolutely.
You're still happy. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Or even $8.50 out of 10.
Right. That'd be amazing.
Brother, I've had a great time today.
It's been a wonderful time, one that I shall not soon forget. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of The Table. It's a family-friendly podcast that we upload weekly for your amusement. If you like that, subscribe and head over to Instagram and Twitter where you can give us a follow at ThatTablePod. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and share this podcast with your friends and your family. If you'd like to learn more about other ways you can support the show, take a moment to check out the description where you'll find a short list we provided for your convenience. We thank you so much for hanging out with us again today. It's been our pleasure to serve you. And as always, until next time,
Gerald!